Have you ever found yourself just staring at a really dense financial report, you know, one of those research documents? You know there's vital stuff hidden in there, those aha moments, but honestly, it feels completely overwhelming with all the jargon and complexity. You want those key insights, the things that could really help you understand, but getting there feels like, well, like climbing a mountain without the right gear.
Right.
What if you could just cut through all that noise, get straight to what really matters? Without feeling like you need a PhD in finance just to keep up.
Well, that's exactly what we try to do here on the Deep Dive. We take these stacks of expert sources, like this really comprehensive investment research analysis we've got today, and we boil it down into insights that are actually accessible, maybe even actionable for you.
Okay.
So our deep dive today is into ex-trade brokers Dom Okleski SA, or XTBWAR, as it's listed on the Warsaw Stock Exchange. And this isn't just about understanding one company, right? It's more about making sense of the bigger forces shaping the online investment world today, and how this one pretty interesting player is trying to navigate those, let's say, turbulent waters. Think of this as your shortcut, your way to get genuinely well-informed about a really fascinating part of the whole fintech landscape.
Okay, let's unpack this then. We've got a fantastic report here, really insightful. It pulls back the curtain on XTB. Now, this is a company that started out, I believe, in Poland.
That's right, Warsaw.
But they've clearly set their sights much, much higher. They're aiming to become something they actually call an investment super app. They want to reach investors all over the globe. That sounds, well, incredibly ambitious, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And what's really fascinating here isn't just the ambition, which is huge, but how they're strategically trying to pivot, how they're evolving in a market that's just changing at, lightning speed.
Right.
So we're going to dive into their core business. We'll dissect their, frankly, aggressive global ambitions. And crucially, we'll look at the financial levers involved, the strategic risks, and just the sheer capital investment needed to chase a vision like that. And it really raises a big question for all of us, I think. In today's digital world, can a single company genuinely become the one-stop shop for absolutely all your investment needs? Is that even possible?
That's a great question.
So we're going to dig into the details, try to understand exactly what that super app vision means for XTB's business model, and maybe even more importantly, what it could mean for you, the investor.
So let's start right at the beginning, lay the foundation. Who exactly is XTB and what's their business model all about? The research tells us XTB, the full name, is Ex-Trade Brokers Dom Okleski SA.
Bit of a mouthful.
Yeah. They started way back in 2002 in Warsaw, Poland. And initially, they were primarily a foreign exchange, or FX, and contracts for difference, CFD, brokerage. That seems like a pretty specific niche to start in, right?
It is, yeah. And those origins, the FX and CFD trading, they're not just like historical footnotes. They are absolutely critical because that legacy business, it still forms the real backbone of their revenue today. But what's really significant and what this report really drills down on is their strategic evolution. They're not content anymore to just be that niche broker. They are actively, and I mean very aggressively, executing this strategic pivot towards becoming what they call a comprehensive multi-asset investment super app.
Right. That phrase again.
Yeah. Imagine it as trying to be a single place, a holistic destination for all your financial interactions, not just trading, but also, long-term investing, even basic saving needs. They're trying to be that ultimate one-stop shop that pulls your whole financial world into one app, one platform.
A one-stop shop for absolutely everything financial. That's a massive goal. Almost sounds all-encompassing. And they've clearly grown way beyond just Poland, haven't they? The report says they listed on the Warsaw Stock Exchange back in 2016 and now serve a global client base that's over 1.6 million investors. That is a staggering number of people trusting them with their money.
Absolutely staggering. And their operational model, as the analysis details, it's basically built on two main pillars, catering to different market segments. The first, and this is by far the biggest in terms of clients and revenue, is their retail segment.
Okay.
This is where most individual investors, people like you listening, interact with XTB. Traditionally, this part was heavily focused on those leveraged CFDs we mentioned across Forex, indices, commodities, even CFDs on individual stocks and ETFs. But, and this is a key strategic move, they've aggressively expanded into what they call real assets to broaden their appeal.
And this is where it gets really interesting for, you know, the everyday investor, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're offering commission-free trading on the actual stocks and exchange-traded funds, ETFs.
Mm-hmm.
On the surface, that sounds amazing for anyone looking to invest long-term.
It definitely sounds incredibly appealing, yeah. And it's an exceptionally clever way to get new clients in a really crowded market. The key detail here, though, buried in the fine print sometimes, is that this commission-free thing applies for monthly turnover up to a limit of 100,000 euro set.
Mm.
Beyond that limit, commissions do start to apply. And also, if you're doing trades involving currencies other than your account's base currency, there's a, well, relatively modest, but it's there, 0.5% currency conversion fee.
Right. Still pretty attractive.
Oh, absolutely. And beyond just the stocks and ETFs, they've also introduced more passive investment options. They call them investment plans, basically customizable portfolios built using ETFs designed for that longer-term diversified approach.
Okay.
And they've also started offering interest on uninvested cash sitting in client accounts, which is smart. This whole suite of offerings, it really shows their ambition to capture a much wider audience, way beyond just the active day traders. They want the long-term wealth builders, too.
So it sounds like they're trying to cater to both ends of the spectrum, the high-frequency traders, maybe the risk-takers with CFDs, and at the same time, the more conservative long-term investors with commission-free stocks, ETFs, those investment plans, interest on cash. It's a really wide net they're casting.
Absolutely.
What about the other pillar of their business, the less visible one, maybe?
Right, that would be their institutional segment. It's more commonly known as xOpenHub. This is their business-to-business, their B2B arm.
Okay.
Through xOpenHub, XTD provides things like liquidity and their technology solutions directly to other financial institutions. That could even include rival brokerage houses.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, it's currently a smaller slice of their overall revenue compared to the retail side, but it's definitely an important area for diversifying their income streams. It cleverly leverages all the investment they've already made in their own tech platform, effectively selling their in-house expertise.
Right. Makes sense.
It shows they're building capabilities beyond just serving individuals. They're positioning themselves as a provider of the underlying financial plumbing, too, in a way.
And speaking of reaching clients, their geographic footprint, their international expansion strategy. It sounds not just aggressive, but pretty formidable. Poland's still home base, right? And they're dominant in Central and Eastern Europe, places like Romania, Czech Republic, Slovakia.
Yeah, those are definitely their strong established markets. Hmm. But they are absolutely not stopping there. They are genuinely thinking globally. They've built up a really substantial and growing presence in Western Europe, two big markets like Spain, Portugal, Germany, France.
Okay.
And what's absolutely crucial to understand how they operate globally is their regulatory framework. It's robust, meticulously maintained. They hold licenses from multiple very reputable financial authorities. You've got the Polish KNF, the UK's FCA, SEC in Cyprus, the DFSA in Dubai, among others.
Wow, that's a lot of oversight.
It is. And this multi-jurisdictional licensing, it's a huge competitive advantage. It lets them operate pretty seamlessly across the entire European Union using what's called a single EU passport system.
Oh, right.
That really simplifies and speeds up their expansion within the EU, gives them really broad market access.
That sounds like a powerful advantage, yeah, being able to operate across a whole continent with just one passport. But the report stresses they're pushing even further out, actively expanding into these potentially huge markets in Latin America, Africa, Asia.
Mm-hmm.
That really is a global vision. They seem to see no borders.
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, right, this really aggressive international expansion, it isn't just about, you know, getting bigger for the sake of it or putting more dots on a map.
Right.
It's a profound strategic imperative. It's designed to mitigate their concentration risk. They've historically relied quite heavily on Europe. And it's about finding new growth areas, potentially with higher margins, because competition is just getting fiercer and fiercer in those mature European markets.
Makes sense.
So, for example, they're using a Belize-based entity, kind of strategically, as a hub for their Latin American push. They've already got a securities agent license in Chile, and they're actively going after one in Brazil, which you can imagine is a massive potential market.
Yeah.
In the Middle East, they've not only got the licenses, but they've opened a second office in Dubai. That region's actually become their fastest growing market, contributing nearly 11% of group revenue in 2024.
Wow.
And for Asia, they made a strategic move by acquiring a regulated derivatives broker in Indonesia, which they've already rebranded as XTB. And they've even got a foothold in South Africa with a license there. So this whole approach, it's multi-pronged. It shows a serious long-term commitment to diversifying globally, aiming for a more balanced, more resilient business overall.
Okay, so how exactly does XTB make its money from this really complex, widespread operation? The report breaks down their revenue structure, and it seems overwhelmingly driven by market making in the CFD market. What does that actually mean for you, the client, and for their bottom line?
Right. So their main revenue sources are quite specific. First, you've got spreads. That's basically the small difference between the buying price and the selling price bid you see when you make a trade. They capture that difference. Second, there are swap points. These are fees you pay or sometimes receive for holding leveraged positions overnight. Mm-hmm. And third, a significant chunk comes from the net result of their hedging activities. This is basically how skillfully they manage the risk that comes with making markets balancing out client trades against their own exposure.
Right.
And as we mentioned, that commission-free stock and ETF offer is primarily a tool to get new clients in the door. Commissions only kick in above that 100K monthly turnover, and there's that 0.5% currency conversion fee we talked about.
Yep.
Interestingly, they've also successfully developed a newer and increasingly important revenue stream. Net interest income they earn on the cash clients leave uninvested in their accounts. This has become quite lucrative, especially in a higher interest rate environment like we've seen recently.
Okay, so here's where it gets really interesting, I think. They're pulling in masses of new users with this really attractive commission-free trading offer. Sounds fantastic for you, the investor, right?
On the surface, yeah.
But the deep dive analysis clearly shows their core profits are still overwhelmingly tied to those higher margin CFD trades. So what does this fundamental dynamic, this tension, mean for XTB's future and for that really ambitious super app dream they keep talking about?
This specific point, it raises an absolutely critical question about the long-term sustainability of the profitability of their whole business model. The report is crystal clear. Despite this impressive flood of new clients, XTB's profitability is still overwhelmingly dependent on the high margin income they get from CFD trading.
Okay.
The inherent challenge here is, can they effectively cross-sell these core higher margin CFD products to a client base that was initially drawn in by the lower margin passive, seemingly free stuff like commission-free stocks?
Right. That's the key.
Exactly. If they fail to convert a significant chunk of these new clients into active, higher volume CFD traders, it could lead to serious, sustained margin compression across the whole business, even if they keep growing user numbers strongly. And we can already see this tension playing out in their numbers, in their revenue breakdown, where CFDs still dominate. And in that fluctuating profitability per lot metric we discussed, it's a classic high stakes balancing act. Grow aggressively, but keep profits healthy.
They must be banking heavily on their own technology to help bridge that gap, right?
Mm.
To drive that super app vision. The report talks a lot about their in-house platform, XStation 5. Says it's award-winning, available everywhere, web, desktop, highly rated mobile app.
Yes, owning and constantly developing their tech stack is arguably their single most important competitive advantage. And in a really strategic move that underlined this commitment, XTB actually stopped supporting the widely used third-party platform MetaTrader 4 or MT4.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it signaled their full total commitment to their own in-house tech, XStation 5. And this platform, it's incredibly robust. It offers advanced charting, over 37 indicators, 29 drawing tools, integrated tools like economic calendars, real-time news feeds, even client sentiment indicators. It's got a user-friendly interface that works for total beginners, but it also has the depth and tools that experienced traders really demand. And the mobile app in particular gets fantastic ratings, like 4.7 stars on Apple, 4.5 on Google Play. That really speaks to the user experience they've built.
So owning the technology means they have complete control end-to-end over the user experience. They can innovate faster, adapt quickly to trends. That must be a massive differentiator in this industry.
It absolutely is. That decision to own their tech stack gives XTB unparalleled control over the whole user journey. It enables really rapid innovation cycles, quick adaptation to new market trends, whether that's offering fractional shares, integrating social trading, developing new investment products.
Right.
This agility is a key differentiator compared to many brokers who are still reliant on third-party platforms. It lets XTB iterate quickly, respond to what competitors are doing, and ultimately ultimately maintain a significant competitive edge in this incredibly fast-moving fintech world.
But operating in finance always means dealing with a whole jungle of rules and regulations. The report highlights that the regulatory environment is powerful, yes, but it's also a double-edged sword for XTB. How does that actually play out?
It's definitely a highly regulated space. Their primary regulator is the Polish Financial Supervision Authority, the KNF, which gave them their first license way back in 2005. But being EU-based, they're also subject to the big overarching pan-European framework from ESMA, the European Securities and Markets Authority.
Okay.
Now, ESMA brought in significant industry-wide CFD restrictions back in 2018. These were specifically designed to protect retail investors. They included strict leverage limits like 30.1 for major currencies down to a very conservative 2.1 for crypto CFDs.
Right.
They also mandated a 50% margin closeout rule to stop huge losses, guaranteed negative balance protection, banned trading incentives like deposit bonuses, and required standardized risk warnings on everything.
So these strict rules are definitely good for you, the investor, right? They limit your potential losses significantly. But from XTB's point of view, they must really cap how much revenue they can make per client.
Precisely. Those regulations, while great for consumer protection, inherently limit the revenue potential for brokers like XTB. And the KNF, their home regulator in Poland, is particularly vigilant. They actively enforce the MiFID II directives, which cover crucial things like keeping client funds separate, having enough capital, ensuring best execution on trades, and managing conflicts of interest really carefully.
Okay.
The KNF has a history of active enforcement, too. They even fined XTB in the past for something called differential slippage, which is basically when the price you see isn't exactly the price your trade gets executed at, and if it's not managed right, it can disadvantage clients.
Tricky.
So while regulation clearly brings significant ongoing risks, compliance costs, competitive pressures, what's fascinating is that it also creates this really formidable barrier to entry for anyone new trying to get into this market.
Ah, interesting point.
Yeah, the sheer cost, the complexity, the time it takes to get and keep multiple top-tier licenses in different countries, it deters most potential new competitors. It effectively creates this regulatory moat around established, well-capitalized firms like XTB. It's a risk, yes, but it's also a shield protecting them from a flood of new entrants.
Okay, that discussion about regulation flows perfectly into the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
The industry dynamics, the competitive landscape XTB is swimming in. It's not just growing. The report says the European online brokerage market is set to grow at a compound annual growth rate, a CAGR, of about 6.7% between now and 2030. Could exceed $4 billion U.S. dollars by then. That's some serious expansion.
It is indeed. And this growth is being driven by several powerful interconnected factors. First, you've got this ongoing democratization of investing. Mm. We've seen a huge surge in regular people, retail investors, participating directly in markets since around 2020.
Yeah, definitely.
Second, Europe has seen really high adoption of fintech generally and digital banking. So people are very comfortable using online platforms for finance. And third, there's relentless technological advancement. Things like AI, machine learning, creeping into advisory services, really sophisticated mobile apps, all making investing easier, more intuitive, more engaging for more people.
So it's clearly a booming market. More people like you listening are getting into investing. Plus there's cool new tech making it easier. But as the report points out, that kind of growth inevitably means intense competition. The market's even consolidating. How does XTB actually stand out or even just survive in that kind of environment?
That is the core strategic puzzle for XTB, and honestly for a lot of players in the space. Now, XTB is, without doubt, a formidable competitor, especially in Central and Eastern Europe, where they're a clear leader.
Right.
However, the report frames the wider competitive scene using this interesting barbell analogy. On one end of the barbell, you have the large, established incumbents. Think global giants like IG Group, Plus 500, CMC Markets. These are the heavyweights. They have immense scale, operations all over the world, incredibly broad product ranges, brands people recognize instantly, and they set a very high bar for tech spending, marketing budgets, and handling all that complex regulation.
And then on the other end of this barbell, you've got the disruptors, right? The neo brokers. These are the newer, quicker platforms like Free Trade or Trading 212. That have really shaken things up recently.
Exactly. These neo brokers have aggressively grabbed huge chunks of market share with their simple, often mobile-first, zero-commission stock trading models. They've fundamentally changed what retail investors expect in terms of costs.
Yeah, they really have.
And XTB finds itself positioned quite strategically right in the middle of this barbell. They're not as huge or globally diversified as those old incumbents, but their business model is inherently more complex, more costly to run than the lean neo-brokers, mostly because of their sophisticated CFD market making and that extensive multi-country regulatory footprint they have.
Wow, that middle position sounds incredibly tough. It means they're basically fighting battles on two completely different fronts at the same time.
It absolutely is. This strategic middle ground creates a significant ongoing challenge. It forces them to continuously invest heavily, both money and people, just to compete effectively on tech and brand with the big, well-funded players. And at the same time, they have to offer highly competitive, often low-cost products to defend themselves against those aggressive, price-cutting neo-brokers.
Right.
This dynamic is a major reason why we see their operating costs, especially marketing costs, rising so significantly. They're really spending a lot trying to win on both ends of that spectrum.
And it also sounds like there are pretty high barriers to actually getting into this market, which must give established players like XTB some kind of moat, as the report calls it, a protective wall against new competition.
What's really interesting here is precisely how these barriers, while definitely challenging and expensive for XTB to navigate themselves, also act as a powerful shield for them. They effectively create this significant moat around the established players. It filters out weaker competitors and tends to consolidate market power among those firms who can meet all the stringent requirements. The first and probably highest barrier is regulatory compliance. Getting and keeping multiple top-tier licenses across different countries is incredibly complex, expensive, and takes a long time. It's a massive hurdle for any newcomer.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Secondly, there's a technology investment. Building and maintaining a proprietary, stable, feature-rich platform like their XStation 5. That requires millions upon millions in ongoing R&D. It's a huge recurring cost that small startups just can't match.
Right.
And finally, building brand trust and marketing scale in financial services takes a long time and requires substantial, sustained marketing investment. XTB, using huge global names like Conor McGregor and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, that's a very clear and very expensive strategy to speed up brand building and cut through the noise. But it costs a fortune. These aren't things a new startup can easily replicate, making the barriers to achieving true global scale really quite high.
Okay, let's peel back another layer now and get into the actual numbers, XTB's financial performance. The report describes their revenue growth as strong, definitely, but with the key characteristic, volatility.
Yeah.
They hit record revenues of, what was it, PLN, $1.59 billion in 2023, up 10%. And that momentum carried on into early 2024 and 2025, with Q1 2025 hitting another record of EUR, $138.7 million. Sounds amazing on the surface, but what makes their revenues so well? Up and down?
It is impressive top-line growth, no doubt, but that volatility comes directly from how sensitive their business is to what's happening in the financial markets. Mm-hmm. Their revenue is highly, highly correlated with market volatility.
Okay.
When global markets get choppy, you know, big price swings, unexpected news, more economic uncertainty, it typically drives a big increase in trading activity from their clients, especially in CFDs. This increased activity then directly translates into record revenue quarters for XTB. But conversely, when markets are calm, when volatility is low for extended periods, that can lead to significant drops in revenue both quarter over quarter and year over year. This inherent cyclical nature means XTB's top line performance can be quite lumpy, quite unpredictable quarter to quarter. So the peaks can be very high, but the troughs can also be quite deep. That's key for investors to grasp.
So basically, high market volatility, which might make many investors nervous, is generally good news for XTB's top line.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look at profitability, the picture gets a lot more complicated. Net profit for 2023 was up slightly, 2024 was stronger, but the report flags this critical trend, rapidly rising operating expenses.
This is a major area of focus in the analysis, yes. Operating expenses surged significantly, hitting PLN 694.2 million in 2023, which was way up from PLN 558.6 million the year before. And this sharp rise is mainly driven by two things. Those aggressive, high-profile marketing campaigns we talked about aimed at getting clients globally, and a big increase in headcount, especially in their tech teams and international expansion efforts. This cost pressure really hit home in Q1 2025. Despite hitting record revenue, their net profit actually fell by a hefty 36% to EUR 46.3 million.
So the revenue number looks amazing, breaking records. But then you dig down and see net profit falling, even with more money coming in the door. Mm. It's almost like they're spending an absolute fortune just to keep the lights on and sign up all these new customers. What's actually going on here? Is this sustainable?
It really looks like a classic growth at any cost strategy, at least in the short term. That Q1 2025 profit drop was directly linked to that sharp, disproportionate jump in operating costs. Marketing expenses alone, just marketing, accounted for a massive 45% of their total operating costs in that quarter.
45%.
Yeah. And the profitability per lot, that key efficiency metric for their core CFD business, it also shows this pressure. It was PLN 214 in 2023, down from 227 the year before. It recovered a bit in early 2024, then dipped slightly again in Q1 2025.
Mm.
This metric fluctuating not only highlights how much their core business depends on good market conditions, but also the significant impact of their rapidly rising costs. It reveals that fundamental challenge. How do you balance aggressive, expensive client acquisition with keeping profit margins healthy and sustainable long term? That's the tightrope they're walking right now.
And speaking of getting clients, their client metrics are genuinely explosive. Active clients grew 51% in 2023, reaching over 400,000. By Q1 2025, it was a record 735,000, up a massive 76.5% year over year. They got a record 312,000 new clients in 2023 alone, another 194,000 in Q1 2025. Their total client base is over 1.5 million now. These numbers are just phenomenal.
The client growth is, without question, exceptional. It's the main story driving how the market sees them. However, the deep dive consistently points to this critical potential decoupling. This exponential growth in active clients is, as we've discussed, not translating into similar growth in net profit.
Right.
And this divergence seems driven by two main things. Rising client acquisition costs, it's costing them more to get each new client, and a potential drop in average revenue per user, or ARPU. Because many of these new clients, attracted by commission-free trading, are initially using lower-margin products.
Okay.
This suggests maybe diminishing returns in their established European markets, and it puts even more strategic importance on those new geographic ventures to find profitable growth. It's becoming less about just the quantity of clients and more about the quality and how well they can monetize them beyond that initial low-cost offer.
So an incredible surge in users, but the profit from each user might actually be shrinking. That's a really crucial insight. Now, just quickly on their balance sheet. The report says XTB has a notably strong and liquid balance sheet. PLN, $2.2 billion in cash and bonds as of March 2025. And crucially, they operate with zero interest-bearing debt. That's a big plus.
Indeed. That strong balance sheet gives them a lot of financial flexibility, a solid foundation. Being entirely debt-free is a notable advantage. It boosts their ability to fund growth, weather market storms, and deliver shareholder returns. That line item amounts due to customers, PLN 4.16 billion at the end of 2024. That's standard for brokers. It just represents client funds they hold, kept separate and protected by regulations.
Right.
Overall, this financial flexibility is a clear strength that gives them room to maneuver in a volatile market and fund those aggressive expansion plans. The five-year financial summary in the source material really paints this picture vividly. You see metrics like total operating income, net profit, operating margin, CFD volume, all showing this pattern of strong but definitely volatile performance.
All right, let's switch gears now and look forward. What are XTB's growth opportunities, their strategic initiatives? What's the actual path forward for them? It seems incredibly clear that aggressive geographic expansion is critical, maybe even existential, for their strategy,
yeah.
A global hunt for profit beyond Europe.
It absolutely is. Geographic diversification isn't just about growth. It's essential for building a truly global brand, and maybe more importantly, for reducing that significant concentration risk they have. Especially in Europe, where competition is fierce and margins are squeezed, they've got a very deliberate multi-pronged approach. The MENA region, Middle East, and North Africa has quickly become XTB's fastest growing market. It accounted for almost 11% of their group revenue in 2024.
Wow.
They've secured key licenses in the UAE, opened a second Dubai office. It's a strong proof of concept that their global strategy can work and be profitable in these new areas.
And Latin America seems like another major target, a region with huge potential.
Precisely. For Latin America, they're smartly using that Belize licensed entity as your regional hub. They've already got a license in Chile, which is a big step, and they're actively, aggressively pursuing one in Brazil. Brazil is just an enormous potential market for online brokers, given its size and growing middle class.
Huge potential, yeah.
In Asia, they made a very strategic move, acquiring that regulated Indonesian derivatives broker, which they've already rebranded to fit the XTB identity. Management sees Asia as having immense long-term growth, potential large tech-savvy populations, rising incomes. And to round it out, they also have a solid foothold in South Africa with a license there.
Okay.
So this aggressive multi-front expansion isn't just about abstract growth. It's a fundamental strategic necessity to offset the intense competition and margin pressure back in their mature European markets. Success in these new, potentially higher margin regions is absolutely crucial for their long-term profitability and for diversifying their revenue, making them more resilient globally.
Beyond just going global, their product innovation pipeline is incredibly ambitious. It seems like the real blueprint for that super app vision we keep mentioning. They clearly want to transform from just a trading platform into something much broader, catering to more financial needs.
Exactly. Their super app strategy is being meticulously built out through this really robust and ambitious product pipeline. It's designed to significantly expand the market they can address. For passive investing, they've already launched those investment plans and they offer interest on cash. Looking ahead, they plan to introduce fractional government and corporate bonds, catering more to that long-term diversified investor demand.
Okay.
They're also planning to significantly expand their tradable assets. They want to introduce direct cryptocurrency trading, complementing their existing crypto CFD offer, and maybe even more significantly, roll out options trading.
Implication for you. So that means XTB isn't just adding minor features. They're fundamentally broadening the range of investment choices on their platform, potentially making it a much more complete solution for different investment strategies you might have.
Precisely. They also have strategic plans for tax-advantaged savings accounts in different countries, like IKEXA in Poland, ISLOX in the UK, PEA in France. This is a key move to increase client asset stickiness, basically, to keep your money on their platform longer by offering tax benefits.
Makes sense.
And in what's probably their boldest move to embed themselves into your daily financial life, XTB plans to integrate more fintech services, including a digital wallet with a multi-currency card. Think instant payments, transfers, currency exchange, all within the XTB app.
Okay, this sounds like they are genuinely thinking huge. They want to be the single app for all your money needs, from active trading to long-term saving, maybe even daily spending with a digital wallet. It's an incredibly exciting, expansive roadmap. But how do they actually plan to make such a grand vision happen, beyond just having the ideas?
Yeah, good question. It ultimately boils down to two main connected growth engines: their relentless digital transformation efforts and that aggressive marketing strategy. On the tech side, they use agile methods, developing software in small, quick cycles and a modern microservice architecture. This allows them to build their platform in small, independent, easily updated parts. Gives them flexibility and speed.
Okay.
A striking 40.7% of their total staff work in technology roles. That really underscores their commitment. This deep tech investment enables that continuous rapid development of the XStation platform and allows them to integrate new tech, like AI-driven solutions, relatively quickly.
Right.
On the marketing front, the strategy is undeniably aggressive. Building a global brand using those high-profile ambassadors, Conor McGregor, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, these names bring huge visibility and, crucially, credibility. But, and this is a crucial point, this aggressive marketing, while very effective for getting new clients, is also the main driver of those escalating operating costs and the recent margin squeeze we talked about. It works, but it's seriously expensive.
And beyond just the big name ads, they also seem to put a strong focus on financial education, don't they?
Yes, financial education is explicitly called out as a core part of XTB's brand. They offer extensive free materials, articles, webinars, video courses. The aim here is really twofold. First, empower investors with knowledge, hoping that leads to more informed, maybe more active trading decisions. And second, build long-term relationships and trust with their clients.
Right.
It's about cultivating an informed, engaged client base, which ideally for them leads to greater loyalty and a higher lifetime value per customer.
Okay, let's shift focus now to how XTB actually balances all this ambitious growth, this massive investment, with returning value to its shareholders. What's their overall approach to capital allocation? How do they handle shareholder returns?
Well, their main, most significant way of returning value to shareholders is through dividends. The company has a public and, frankly, quite generous official policy. They aim to recommend a payout ratio of somewhere between 50% and 100% of their standalone net profit each year.
Wow, 50 to 100%, that's high.
It is high. And for the 2024 financial year, management did propose a pretty substantial dividend, PLN 5.45 per share. That worked out to a payout ratio of about 74.9% of their profit for that period. and resulted in roughly a 7.6% trailing dividend yield, which is certainly attractive for income-seeking investors.
Yeah, that's a very generous dividend policy. Definitely makes them appealing if you're looking for regular income. But as you said, such a high payout must create some tension with their really capital-intensive growth strategy, right?
It absolutely does. It's a key tension. While that high payout might signal management's confidence in future cash flows, it simultaneously introduces a strategic risk. Returning 3/4 of your annual profit directly to shareholders inherently limits how much money you have left, your retained earnings, to reinvest back into the company.
Right.
And that's critical, given the aggressive spending needed for global marketing, continuous tech development, and funding that ambitious geographic expansion. If a major unexpected investment opportunity came up, or if profitability dipped significantly due to market conditions, they might have to cut that dividend. It's a very delicate balancing act. Reward current shareholders versus funding future growth.
Beyond dividends, do they use share buyback programs much as another way to return capital?
Share buybacks seem to be more of a secondary kind of opportunistic tool for them rather than a primary regular thing. For example, back in March 2023, they mentioned potentially using 25% of their 2022 profit for a buyback,
yeah.
But that was always subject to regulatory approval.
Okay.
More recently, April 2025, they started a smaller PLN 10 million buyback, but that was specifically linked to their employee incentive program. So it seems targeted, not a broad capital return strategy via buybacks. Dividends are definitely the main show.
And then their investment priorities seem incredibly clear, almost laser focused on fueling those growth engines we discussed.
Absolutely. Their capital allocation strategy is explicitly prioritized towards growth. Marketing is the biggest and fastest growing expense category. They see it as essential for hitting those ambitious client acquisition targets, especially in new markets. Technology gets continuous, substantial investment, critical for developing XStation and building the infrastructure for that super app vision. And then significant capital is always being deployed for the hefty legal, regulatory, and operational costs that come with their aggressive geographic expansion into places like MENA, Latin America, and Asia. Those are the areas where they are actively and heavily putting their money to work to secure future growth.
Okay. Every investment, no matter how good it looks, comes with risks. XTB is definitely no exception. What are the most significant risks highlighted in this deep dive that you, as a potential investor, really need to be aware of?
The single most significant, most pervasive threat to XTB, and frankly, to the whole online CFD brokerage industry, is undoubtedly regulatory risk. Their core CFD business operates under intense and constantly evolving scrutiny from multiple authorities. ESMMA, the pan-European body, has the power to bring in temporary product intervention measures, which national regulators like the KNF in Poland often then make permanent.
Right.
Any further tightening of rules on things like leverage limits, marketing practices, or specific CFD product features could directly and negatively hit XTB's revenues and profits.
And their home regulator, the KNF, also represents a very real active risk, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. The KNF can impose very specific national rules, stricter capital requirements, or even hefty fines like that past fine they got for differential slippage, remember? That issue with execution prices.
Mm.
And as XTB expands globally, they become subject to this ever-growing patchwork of diverse, complex, sometimes conflicting regulations in each new country. This significantly increases their compliance costs and also raises the risk of accidentally falling foul of the rules somewhere new.
Yeah, it sounds like a minefield.
It can be. But remember that interesting flip side we discussed? While regulation is a threat, it also creates that formidable barrier to entry. The cost and complexity deter newcomers, effectively solidifying the position of established compliant firms like XTB. So it's a risk they manage constantly, but it's also, in a way, a protective shield.
What about market risk? We already talked about how their revenue depends heavily on market volatility.
That's right. Market risk is baked into their model because revenues are so closely tied to financial market volatility. Long periods of low volatility usually mean lower trading volumes and lower revenues, creating that unpredictable earnings stream. Plus, as a market maker, XTB inherently carries market exposure. While they actively hedge to reduce this risk, extreme, unforeseen black swan events, sudden, massive price moves, liquidity drying up could potentially overwhelm their risk models and lead to significant unexpected losses.
And then there's that intense competitive risk, facing pressure from both ends of that barbell we talked about earlier.
Exactly. Competitive risk comes from both the huge, well-funded incumbents and those nimble, low-cost disruptors. The rise of zero-commission neo-brokers has basically forced XTB to offer similar low-margin products, creating a real risk of cannibalizing their own traditionally high-margin CFD business.
Right.
This puts sustained pressure on their overall profitability. Plus, the sheer scale of global players like IG Group means they have much deeper pockets for marketing and tech spending. This can put XTB at a disadvantage, especially when entering new international markets where their brand isn't as well known yet.
And finally, what about internal risks? Things like technology problems or concentration within their own business.
Those are critically important, too. Technology risk is significant precisely because they rely so heavily on their own proprietary XStation platform. Any major technical failure, long outage, or a serious cybersecurity breach could severely damage their reputation, destroy client trust, and have a massive negative impact on their finances.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
And then there's concentration risk. This exists on two fronts, geography and product. Despite all the expansion talk, a substantial chunk of their revenue still comes from Poland and the wider CEE region. That makes them vulnerable if something bad happens economically or regulatorily just in those markets.
Okay.
And as we've stressed, their revenue is still heavily dependent on CFDs, especially CFDs based on just a few key global stock indices. This makes them vulnerable to shifts in trader preferences or specific market conditions affecting just those few assets.
Okay, let's talk about what the market itself actually thinks of XTB. How does their current valuation look? What does it tell us about how investors feel about the company right now?
Well, when we look at their multiple valuation, XTB tends to trade at figures that generally reflect its position as a high-growth, yes, but also inherently cyclical financial services firm. It's not valued like a pure-play, high-multiple tech company.
Okay.
For instance, their price-to-earnings, or PE ratio, is typically kicking around the 11x to 12x mark. Now, that's broadly in line with some established peers, like Plus 500, but importantly, it's a significant discount compared to, say, high-growth fintechs like Robinhood, which often get much, much higher multiples.
Right.
Their price-to-book PB ratio is around 4.0x, and their enterprise value to EBITDA, or EBITDA, is relatively low at about 2.7x. That low EBITDA often suggests the market is pricing in, or at least anticipating, a fair bit of earnings volatility and uncertainty about their future performance.
So when we compare them directly against their main competitors, their peers, where does XTB really sit in the market's view?
In terms of relative valuation, benchmarking them against the big guys like IG Group, Plus 500, CMC Markets, XTB's demonstrably superior client growth rates, which are truly impressive, could theoretically argue for them deserving a premium valuation.
Yeah, you'd think so.
But the deep dive analysis suggests several factors might be justifying a discount instead. Things like their currently lower operating margins compared to where they used to be, that high revenue volatility we keep coming back to, and their lingering geographic concentration risk in Europe. The market, it seems, is carefully weighing up all these strengths and weaknesses.
So if I'm getting this right, the market is giving XTB huge credit for signing up tons of new customers, which is a massive achievement, no doubt. But at the same time, it's kind of saying, okay, great numbers, but prove to us that all these new clients will actually turn into consistent, sustainable, high profits down the road. It really does sound like a classic show-me story for XTB.
Precisely. That sums it up perfectly. The market has definitely rewarded their exceptional client acquisition success. You see it in their growth story. But those relatively modest valuation multiples clearly show a degree of skepticism about the long-term profitability, the ultimate sustainability of this aggressive growth strategy.
Okay.
Investors are keenly watching for tangible proof. Proof that XTB can successfully monetize this rapidly expanding user base. Proof that their ambitious international expansion can deliver truly profitable growth. Growth that's less dependent on those unpredictable swings in market volatility. A clear, powerful catalyst for a positive re-rating for their valuation multiples to go up would be them showing they can stabilize and then meaningfully expand their operating margins while still sustaining that impressive user growth. That, plus proven success in profitably converting users via international expansion. That would be a game changer for how the market sees them.
And trying to do the discounted cash flow, a DCF analysis, for a company like XTB must be incredibly difficult, given all this volatility and complexity.
Oh, it is indeed. A DCF valuation for XTB would be highly, highly sensitive to the assumptions you plug in. First, cash flow projections are inherently tricky because of that high revenue volatility tied to unpredictable markets. Modeling those cycles accurately takes a lot of judgment.
Yeah.
Second, The path of operating margins is absolutely critical. Any projections there need to meticulously model how successful that super app strategy will be. Specifically, how good are they at cross-selling those high-margin products, and what are the true long-term costs of all this international expansion?
Right.
And finally, the discount rate you use, the WACC, would need to be set appropriately high to accurately reflect those significant regulatory and market risks that are just inherent in the CFD brokerage world. It's a very complex picture. Small changes in assumptions can lead to really big swings in the final valuation number.
Okay, so if you, our listener, wanted to keep a close eye on XTB's progress, really understand how they're doing, what are the crucial numbers and trends you should actually be watching? What are the key performance indicators, the KPIs, that give you that kind of X-ray vision into the health and success of their business?
Right. For client metrics, you absolutely need to track net new client additions every quarter. This is the prime measure of their top line growth, their ability to pull in new users. You can check it against management's own target, which is usually somewhere between 65,000 to 90,000 new clients per quarter.
Okay.
Also, keep a close eye on the total number of active clients that shows if people are actually sticking around and engaging with the platform. But the two most critical metrics, the ones giving you the deepest insight, are average revenue per user, ARPU, and profitability per lot.
Ah, right. Those again.
Yeah. These go beyond just counting heads. They really assess the quality of the client base and the underlying profitability of their core trading business. If you see a sustained downward trend in either ARPU or profitability per lot, that would be a major red flag, even if the raw client numbers still look amazing. It really speaks to their ability to actually make money from those users.
And on the financial and regulatory side, what should we be looking at?
For financial and regulatory metrics, operating margin is key. It's that overarching indicator of profitability, especially crucial for seeing the real impact of those rising marketing and expansion costs on the bottom line. Also, carefully monitor geographic revenue diversification, specifically what percentage of revenue is coming from outside their traditional core CEE region. This directly measures how successful their big international push actually is.
Okay.
And finally, keep a diligent eye on their regulatory capital ratios. You want to make sure they're staying well above the strict KNF requirements. This also indirectly impacts the sustainability of that generous dividend policy we talked about.
And what about metrics related to their technology and all those new product initiatives?
For technology and product metrics, things like mobile app ratings and downloads can actually be a surprisingly good proxy for overall user satisfaction and how competitive their XStation platform is in a really crowded field. If those ratings start to dip, it could signal underlying problems.
Good point.
And crucially, closely track the adoption rate of their new products. Things like the investment plans, the upcoming fractional bonds, that future digital wallet. How quickly are people actually using these new things? The uptake here will be a key indicator of whether that ambitious super app strategy is genuinely gaining traction and resonating with their growing client base. All these KPIs together, they'll give you a really comprehensive, nuanced view of XTB's progress, its ongoing challenges, and its future potential.
Okay, we have covered an incredible amount of ground in this deep dive into XTB.
What?
Let's try and pull all these different threads together now. What are the absolute biggest strengths and the most significant concerns that we've uncovered for XTB for anyone thinking about this company?
Absolutely. This final part is really about boiling everything we've discussed down into clear, actionable takeaways for you. So on the investment strength side, first, XTB has a truly exceptional client growth engine. They've proven they can consistently attract new users, building that record base now over 1.5 million. It's impressive.
Yeah.
Second, their proprietary technology advantage with the award-winning in-house XStation 5 platform. It creates a great user experience, allows rapid innovation, and builds a real technological moat against rivals.
Okay.
Third, they have a powerful brand and an aggressive marketing strategy. Yes, it's expensive, but it is highly effective in driving global awareness and growth, especially using those high-profile ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth, their strategic diversification that pivot towards the investment super app with passive products, future fintech services, it has real potential to increase loyalty, diversify revenue, and capture a bigger slice of your overall financial life. And finally, they benefit from an experienced and stable management team. These are people with long tenure, deep industry knowledge, and a clear track record of executing their strategy, even when things get tough.
And now for the other side of the coin. What are the biggest investment concerns that an investor really needs to weigh up carefully?
Well, The primary concern is that inherent revenue and profit volatility. Their financial performance is just heavily dependent on unpredictable market swings, leading to those cyclical, often lumpy earnings that are hard to forecast.
Yeah.
This ties directly into the second major concern. Sustained margin pressure. Acquiring clients with low margin offers combined with those rocketing marketing costs is clearly squeezing overall profitability. Their long-term success really hinges on proving they can effectively cross-sell higher margin products to this big new client base, and that's still unproven.
Okay.
Third, there's that pervasive regulatory risk. The constant threat of tougher rules on their core CFD business from European or national authorities could seriously impact future revenue and profits, as we've seen happen before in the industry.
Right.
Fourth, despite the expansion efforts, they still face significant geographic and product concentration, still heavily reliant on CEE revenue and a few key CFD products, which creates risk. And finally, that intense competitive landscape. Being stuck between the huge incumbents and the agile neobrokers forces them to fight costly battles on two fronts, which is a really challenging strategic position to maintain long term.
So when it comes to valuation, it really feels like the market is acknowledging the impressive user growth, but still has some serious questions about long-term profitability and whether the current strategy can deliver sustainable high margins.
That's precisely the crossroads they find themselves at. The market clearly rewards the user growth, yes, but it continues to show skepticism about translating that growth into consistent, high, long-term profits. They're valued fundamentally as a fast-growing yet cyclical brokerage, not as a high-multiple fintech platform. A significant re-rating upwards in their valuation depends entirely on them demonstrating a proven ability to profitably monetize that huge user base and achieve real, profitable success in their international growth efforts.
In looking ahead, say the next 12 to 24 months, what are the key catalysts that could really move the needle for XDB, either positively or negatively?
Okay, on the potential positive side, a big catalyst would be the successful launch and, crucially, high adoption rates of new, potentially higher margin products like options trading or direct crypto. Another would be clear, demonstrable, profitable success in those new geographic markets, especially MENA and Latin America, leading to a bigger share of higher margin revenue coming from outside Europe. And finally, just seeing a clear stabilization and ideally improvement in those key profitability metrics like ARPU and operating margin would be a very strong positive signal.
Okay. And the potential negatives?
On the potential negative side, a prolonged period of really low market volatility would inevitably hurt their core CFD revenues. New, tougher CFD regulations coming out of Brussels or national capitals could be a significant blow. And simply failing to gain profitable traction, failing to achieve meaningful scale in those new international markets after all that investment, that would mean wasted capital and continued margin erosion.
So just to recap the monitor points for anyone watching XDB, keep an eye on quarterly client metrics. Net new clients, active clients, ARPU, profitability per lot, track profitability trends, operating margins, marketing spend as a percentage of revenue, watch geographic performance growth in new regions, and stay updated on regulatory developments. So what we've really unpacked today with XDB is a fascinating case study, isn't it? A company navigating incredibly rapid, ambitious growth in a really dynamic, highly regulated, and fiercely competitive industry. We saw how innovation and aggressive client acquisition are definitely fueling their expansion.
Mm-hmm.
But we also saw the significant inherent pressures on their profitability and that constant delicate dance they have to do with unpredictable market volatility and ever-present regulatory oversight.
Yeah, this deep dive really highlights the incredible complexity that lies just beneath the surface of these seemingly simple investment apps we all use. It kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? As these super apps strive to be everything to everyone, trying to become the single hub for your entire financial life, how much does your personal experience, your own preferences, your evolving needs as an investor ultimately shape whether they succeed or fail?
That's a great thought.
And what are you truly looking for? What's that ultimate differentiator for you in a financial platform that promises to be your one-stop shop?
Keep exploring, keep questioning, and definitely keep digging beneath the surface. We'll be here for your next deep dive.